The Green Bay Packers were back on the practice field on Thursday, honing in their skills in front of fans and the media. How did they look? We'll ask Stu Courtney of the USA Today Network representing Wisconsin. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. To Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking Packers football this morning. We're talking OTAs, and to do that, we have a guest joining us today.
Expert interview.
He's the Packers editor for USA Today Network in Wisconsin. He's Stu Courtney. Mr. Courtney, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. How are you doing?
Very good. We're glad you could join us. Let's kick things off today talking about Jordy Nelson. He seemed to get a lion's share of the attention after yesterday's practice. It sounds as if he's doing individual drills, but not the team drills. Can you kind of describe what he's doing and how he's looking for me, who isn't there, and I know a lot of our listeners aren't as well. Can you kind of go through that a little bit?
Yeah, Nelson, he's not going to be doing any kind of team drills, any kind of 11-on-11 stuff until a training camp. You know, they don't want to take any chances. But he's looking okay. He's as he's OTAs, he's been on the field stretching and doing that kind of work beforehand. And then yesterday, we noticed our reporter Ryan Wood happened to notice that at one point Nelson and Aaron Rodgers went off and did some. Did some drills on their own. They were doing an assortment of passing routes, a little 15-yard outs and little slants, kind of going through the route tree. There were maybe about 10 routes in all with Nelson, you know, making sharp cuts and looking, you know, looking totally healthy and taking passes from Rodgers. So they're gradually, you know, getting him up to speed, but they don't want to rush it, certainly not in not an OTA.
Well, I'm just glad he's looking good, and I think Packers fans are as well, so that's good news. But it seems as if there's a high number of players missing practice due to various ailments. Do you think the Packers are right to be doing this, erring on the side of caution, or are they being too cautious? Sometimes it's a fine line, I think.
Oh, for sure. I think they're making the right decision. These are OTAs. These are actually optional. They're not even required to participate. The Packers have always had pretty much 100% attendance. But, you know, there's no rush, especially when you consider they're going to have an extra week of training camp this year because of the Hall of Fame game. They're playing the 5 preseason games. So it's going to be a long training camp, you know, plenty of time to get these guys up to speed. The last thing you want to do is overdo it in June.
I saw that tight end Jared Cook was on the list as being absent yesterday. Do you think as a new member of the team, their new free agent signee, it would behoove him to at least be present for every practice?
Yeah, we don't know why he wasn't there yesterday, but again, it's OTA, so they're optional. It's usually not a big deal. He was there for the first OTA that was open to the media, and our understanding was that he was there for the other sessions of this week. They didn't tell us why he wasn't there yesterday, but that happens occasionally. Players will miss a session. It certainly is nothing like what's going on in Chicago, where their star receiver Alshon Jeffrey has not been to any of the OTAs after signing his franchise tender during the offseason. There's a lot of consternation down there about why their top offensive threat is not participating in any of the OTAs. But again, they are optional. So, you know, Cook maybe just had some personal stuff to take care of. You know, it's hard to say what the reason was, but no big deal at this point in the offseason.
Yeah, fair enough. If it's a mere blip on the radar, it's probably not too big of a deal. Only fair if I ask who's absent. I should ask about who's back. It appears as if Sam Shields was back for his first public practice after missing last week. Are we under the assumption he didn't miss because of injury?
Yeah, the team told us that it wasn't an injury that kept him out of the first open OTA. It was probably a similar situation to Chris. He may have had some personal matter to deal with or whatever. He was there yesterday, you know, looked fine. We watched him during the workout, but then afterwards he was not available to talk to the media. So we still haven't actually heard from Sam since before he suffered his concussion against Oakland back in week 15. You know, because he was out, you know, for the rest of the regular season. He came back for the Arizona playoff game, but he didn't talk to the media after that game. So we haven't really heard from Shields in quite some time, and we're all eager to hear how he's doing and what he has to say. And he was out there yesterday.
Come on, Sam, talk to the media. But we're talking to Stu Courtney of the USA Today Network in Wisconsin here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV on a Friday morning. Stu, Clay Matthews has gotten a lot of attention this week for appearing on the NFL Network's top 100 list. Is he lining up at outside linebacker 100% of the time in practice? How's the breakdown happening? I think people are curious about that.
It's not 100%, but Mike McCarthy said he's taking the majority of the snaps during the OTAs outside. So it's a gradual process. They got to still figure out, what the deal is with their inside linebacking situation. We talked about him papers last week, and he said it's going to be a process. Yeah, I don't think we're going to totally never play Matthews inside, but the hope is that Sam Barrington coming back from his injury, Jake Ryan with a year under his belt, Blake Martinez, the guy they drafted out of Stanford. They're hoping that they'll have enough solid inside line Matthews that they can keep Matthews outside pretty much full time. Matthew talked to the media yesterday and said that's his most natural position, his most impactful position, and that's certainly where Mike McCarthy wants him to line up for once we get to the regular season.
At yesterday's practice, did anything stick out about new Packers quarterback Marquise Williams? I know it was his first public practice since being signed, and I know we probably can't glean a whole lot from one single practice here, but there's always a lot of attention on the quarterback position. Anything notable about him?
I got to be honest, Brian, I didn't really watch much of Marquise. I didn't really see, I was looking at other things. I know that I was out there for the first open OTA. Ryan Williams didn't look good at all. He was very inaccurate, so no one was really surprised when they made the move and switched out and brought a different Williams in to be the number three quarterback contender. We're talking about someone who's going to line up on the practice squad. Whether it's him or Joe Callahan, the undrafted free agent that they signed, or somebody else. So it's kind of like just like a camp arm, somebody they want to use as a developmental project. He certainly had a good career at North Carolina, so I know that there's potential there, but I'm not really sure yet how he's looking for the package.
Yeah, we'll track his development throughout training camp for sure. I heard Randall Cobb made headlines yesterday claiming to never wear a microphone during a game again. Do you think he's justified in doing so after being injured in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, I don't think you can blame him, considering what happened. It does seem pretty clear that it was the microphone battery pack that was in his shoulder pads that caused that injury when he went up. He made that diving catch against Arizona in the playoff game. Turned out to be it was overruled by a penalty, so it was that was unfortunate. But yeah, he's convinced, and I think the team is convinced that it was the battery pack that. Something punctured his lung and his rib was not broken, so it's hard to blame him for not wanting to do it. He's not the only Packer who doesn't like the invasive technology. Microphones everywhere. Aaron Rodgers talked about that again last week on a podcast he did with AJ Hawk, and he was saying that he doesn't get mic'd up. He refuses to do it. And Hawk at one point asked him, he said, well, what if, you know, what if they mandate that, you know, at some point that there's talk that all quarterbacks will have to wear like a point of view camera where you can actually, you know, the fans can actually see what the quarterback is seeing, and it would be like in every quarterback's helmet. And Rodgers just laughed and said, you know, I may have to call it a career early if that happens, because I ain't doing it. So you can't blame Tom after what he went through for not wanting to put a microphone on again.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Stu, before we let you go, how are things going now that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has been purchased by Gannett? You know, I know you probably don't have every answer early on here, but how is this changing the way the team is going to be covered?
Oh, we have two outstanding operations that are going to be working together to cover the team. I think you're going to see the best coverage of the Packers that you've ever seen, or that you can get any place. When you've got you know, the kind of talent that that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has, and the kind of the people that we have up here, you put those forces together, and you're going to have you know, coverage that can't be beat.
Well, it's exciting changes there at both places, at, you know, Gannett in general. So we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us here, talking a little Packers football on a Friday morning. Appreciate your insight after watching practice. So we're glad to have you on the show, and we'd love to have you again sometime.
That sounds great, Brian. Enjoyed it very much. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Stu Courtney of the USA Today Network in Wisconsin joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
So, you know, just one comment here. It was our very last episode of Railbird Central, and I kind of ended the show. So if you kind of caught the beginning of the show on Wednesday, but tuned out toward the end, I was commenting on the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2016 and kind of hypothesizing what players will appear and what won't. And I thought, you know, you knew that they had made an announcement, the Packers did, that, hey, a player's going to be revealed. So, you know, get you to watch the show or whatever. And as we know now, it turned out to be Clay Matthews, which, of course, you know, I thought he was going to be included on the list. I didn't know exactly where. My guess was going to be that it was going to be Jordy Nelson. And I just share this. I mean, take this for what it's worth. Take it with a grain of salt. The Green Bay Packers kind of revealed this little, on social media, this graphic of four players, and it had Mike Daniels' picture. You know, he'd already been revealed at number 95, and then it has pictures of Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews, and then Randall Cobb, and they put like question marks, you know, like where are they going to appear on the list? It is interesting. Nowhere on that photo, that little graphic they made, was Jordy Nelson. And I just, you know, I was kind of wondering, like, you know, I hypothesized the last show that it was going to be Jordy Nelson who made the list and Randall Cobb would not. But this kind of makes it think, well, it's going to be Cobb that makes the list and maybe Jordy Nelson doesn't. And I have no clue if this graphic has any insight to do with anything. But, I mean, wouldn't it be kind of interesting if Jordy Nelson didn't make the list? I mean, you can understand it from the standpoint, well, he didn't play last year at all for, you know, because of injury, kind of maybe, you know, falls out of people's minds a little bit and things like that, and they don't vote for him. But, man, you know, I think as long as he's healthy, Jordy Nelson is definitely, in my mind, when you just compare Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, both good players, but I mean, for what he's accomplished and what I think he still can, I think, you know, time's running out on Jordy Nelson, but I still think he can still have a very good, very productive season or two yet. Hopefully he comes back from injury just fine. But wow, I would give Jordy Nelson the upper edge over a guy like Randall Cobb, but maybe not appearing to be the case, according to a player vote that appears on the NFL Network's top 100 list. We'll see how it plays out. Like I said, there's nothing's etched in stone here, and I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves, but we'll see how it plays out. But in other Packers news here, the Packers made a couple roster moves prior to this week's OTAs that I just kind of wanted to run through, things we didn't talk about with Stu Courtney, kind of, you know, a little bit more hardcore fan talk here. But they signed guard Lucas Patrick, and they released a pair of players, wide receiver Devontae Robinson and guard Corey Tucker. And just to run through some of these transactions here. So, in essence, the Packers replaced one guard with another, which is interesting because both Tucker and Patrick were both invited to the Packers' rookie orientation camp on a tryout basis, and they initially chose Tucker over Patrick. They signed Tucker first, and Patrick just kind of went several weeks without an NFL team signing him at all. But over the course of a couple weeks of practice, the Packers decided to change their minds. Now, initially, I was excited for Tucker because I knew he was named the Division II Offensive Lineman of the Year. And I thought, well, he may not be from Division I, but how many hundreds of offensive linemen are there in Division II? And he's the best out of any of them. So really, it just goes to show how difficult it is to make it in the NFL if the best offensive lineman in all of Division II can't make it. You know, it's extremely difficult for anyone really to make it. You know, I'm just hypothesizing here because I admittedly haven't seen any practices, but Tucker may have struggled with the switch to guard. At 6'4" and over 300 pounds, I know he played tackle in college at Slippery Rock, but you know, 6'4" is on the short side for tackles in the NFL. You usually don't see too many 6'4" and below. They're usually 6'5" and above to play the tackle position. Certainly there are exceptions to the rule, but I know, you know, this is what the Packers do. They look for lots of players that play tackle in college and think, they're good athletes, and look for them to play on the interior of the offensive line in the professional ranks. But it would appear this transition didn't work out this time. So it's too bad. But the Packers doing what they, you know, making moves they think are in the best interest of the organization. As for Devontae Robinson, he was released with a non-football illness. That was the official designation on the league's transaction wire. What precisely that illness is unknown. The transaction wire doesn't get into specifics. But he was on the list of players that didn't practice last week. And it's too bad. He was another player I was excited about because he reportedly ran the 40-yard dash in something like 4.3 seconds at his pro day at Utah State. And, you know, the 4.4 threshold is kind of known by by everybody as being 4.4 is fast. So when you break that threshold, when you run even faster than that, that really piqued my interest. But alas, it was not meant to be. You know, I know Robinson was kind of he bounced around from several programs. I think he started out at West Virginia. So he started out, you know, he enrolled originally at a big program at West Virginia. And I think then he went down a level. I can't remember if he went the JUCO route or just dropped down a level, but ended up at, you know, back at a FBS school to end his career. But, you know, perhaps there are reasons he bounced around so much. I don't know too much about him, but like I said, it was not meant to be with the Green Bay Packers. As for Lucas Patrick, the new Packers signee, so he took part in his first Packers practice, public practice at least, yesterday. He's coming from a Duke program that's undergoing a renaissance under David Cutcliffe, so that's kind of exciting. you know, Duke has qualified for a bowl game now for four straight years. And you can argue, yeah, everybody makes a bowl game nowadays. But for Duke, this is a place that's only made two bowl games since 1960 prior to this recent run. That's how bad they've been. So, yeah, maybe everybody nowadays is making, you know, bowls all the time. And that's not the way it was, you know, until rather recently. So what they're doing is pretty remarkable, and it's exciting that Patrick was, you know, a part of this. And they're actually churning out quite a few offensive linemen at Duke. Just within the division here is Lakin Tomlinson, who was a first-round draft choice of the Detroit Lions last year. And I know there's a few others as well that have, you know, at least signed with other NFL teams. So what I know about Patrick individually is very little. He was named honorable mention All-ACC last season. So hopefully he takes that momentum into OTAs with the Green Bay Packers and will continue to track his development. But in other news, other Packers news, the Green Bay Packers lost a scout, Glenn Cook, to the Cleveland Browns earlier this week, it was reported. I believe, if I'm correct, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel broke the news. There were other outlets that reported on it as well. I'm not going to get into who's first or whatever, make a big deal about it. But Cook was with the Packers organization for 4 years. And it's understandable that he would leave. I mean, it's too bad when, you know, they could lose an up-and-comer in the organization. But the Packers have lots of good employees in place. When you've got guys in the personnel department under Ted Thompson, like Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith and Brian Gutekunst, there's very little opportunity for advancement in the current Packers regime. So I can understand why Cook would leave somewhere where he might be able to climb the ladder a little bit higher. It's, again, too bad he left, but you understand why he's doing so, because there's all these guys that you really think that, you know, Elliot Wolf in particular, you know, kind of tabbed by many to maybe be the next Packers general manager. But, you know, I think there's people out there that think, you know, maybe Highsmith and Gutekunst, they could do that job as well. I don't know whether they want that job, whether they're maybe perhaps comfortable where they are. I know most people like to climb the ladder, maybe not all. But anyway, that kind of made news in the Packers organization earlier this week. And kind of interesting, one potential replacement could be a familiar name. Last season, former Packers safety Charlie Peppra joined the organization as a scouting intern. And so he wasn't a full-time employee or anything like that. I know he's back this year from pictures shared by the media from what I've seen. So I wonder if Peppra might be a candidate. And while I know very little about Peppra as a scout, remember that, of course, he was a starting member of the Packers defense on their Super Bowl team just 6 years ago. So he knows what it takes to play at a high level. So good luck to Charlie Peppra and whatever happens with him. I mean, he's an intern right now, but who knows? Maybe someday we'll be talking about him as a scout or an assistant coach or something like that. But of course, remember him fondly from his playing days with the Green Bay Packers. Was never a Pro Bowl type of player, but hey, he was a starting member on the Super Bowl XLV team. And for that, Packers fans can be grateful. But continuing on.
The day ahead.
Over the course of this upcoming weekend here, the Lombardi Golf Classic is being held in the greater Milwaukee area. So tonight, Friday night, the Lombardi Golf Gala is being held at the Pfister in Milwaukee on Friday evening, in which players learn the celebrity they'll be paired with. So, you know, to play in the Lombardi Golf Classic, anybody could. You just got to pay to do so, and it's a big fee, but it goes to charity and things like that. It's a fundraiser, so it's not uncommon at all that, big amounts of money are spent to do this. So it's always kind of cool, from the media articles and I've read and things like that, the kind of event they held tonight at the gala where it's revealed the celebrity you'll be paired with. It's just kind of a cool event, and I know practice rounds are being held for the event today as well. But then on Saturday, the Lombardi Classic takes place at North Hills Country Club in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. So just a suburb of Milwaukee. I know last year, wide receiver Jared Aberderis was part of the winning team, so he'll have to defend his title this year. But so on Saturday, the Golf Classic takes place, and it's open to the public, open to spectators. I know you have to buy like a ticket to get in the grounds. But with access, I know you get access to autographs and photographs and things like that. So again, you do have to pay, but it's one of these things where all the proceeds go to charity. They go to the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation. And they've raised, at least hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. This is a long running event that really dates back to, I'm not sure when Vince Lombardi was actually the coach of the Packers, but at least shortly thereafter. So, I mean, this event has been going on for decades, raising money for cancer research and to benefit families and things like that. So really a good cause. But the Golf Classic, there's lots of current and former Packers taking part. I know I just looked at their website, before coming on air here, and among the players from yesteryear taking part are Willie Buchanan and Zeke Brakowski and Paul Kaufman and Lynn Dickey. So a lot of players from yesteryear. And then there's current players on the Packers roster as well. Of course, they practice today, but they got the weekend off, so they're, available to take part in events like this. And hey, what better to do something, kind of semi-athletic on the weekend than take part in a event like this? And I know among the current Packers players that are taking part are defensive back Micah Hyde and wide receiver Ty Montgomery, and then kicker Mason Crosby. He's one of the co-chairs of the event. He's really big into golf. So you can see all of them at the event this weekend. If you're a spectator, you just go to North Hills Country Club and you pay like $10 or something and you can get in the grounds. But anyway, for more information, if you want to find out, more about the event, where to go, things like that, and if you're interested in potentially attending, the website is LombardiFoundation.org. So go check it out if you are interested in that. But that pretty much wraps it up for this week's episodes of Railbird Central. We'll be back again on Monday. But thank you everybody so much for joining us. Thank you to Stu Courtney for being our guest. And have a good weekend, everyone. My call to action, as always, as usual, and thank you to those of you who gave us a rating and a review on iTunes when I, kind of pumped it up at the beginning of the show last episode. Several people put in reviews, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. Once again, this show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask of you in return, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps get word out about the show, helps people find it. So if you could just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating and a little bit of review. Doesn't have to be long, but just a brief little comment. We'd really, really appreciate it. Thank you. But that'll do it, folks. Like I said, have a good Friday. Have a good weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, live edition, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, podcasted and on demand later in the day. Have a good weekend, folks. I'm Brian Caribou on behalf of everyone at Cheesehead TV. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Bellwether by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pat. Go.